Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We welcome in Jordan Schultz of Yahoo, and he's just blowing up all over the place. We appreciate him taking some time into his busy schedule. Jordan, any surprise whatsoever, your reaction last night when LeBron James and that news came across that he was signing the four-year deal for $154 million with the Lakers?
Good morning, fellas. No, I really wasn't. And, you know, I've said for a while that I thought LeBron would be a Laker. I just think his ability to build his brand and continue, you know, trying to go beyond basketball, I think he felt that L.A. offered him the best opportunity to do that at 33. And, you know, it's not that Cleveland didn't offer a lot, because clearly coming back home was important to him a few years back, and I think the opportunity to stay with Cleveland would have been hard, just because even though it's home, that roster is not built to win. And as you know, the East is getting better. I mean, Boston is going to be really good next year. Indiana's gotten better. Philadelphia is going to be really good. So the Lakers, to me, offer the most opportunity, like I said, and I know that they don't have another superstar yet. Maybe they don't get one right now, but next year they definitely can. And they have that max roster spot next to him. They can still re-sign Julius Randle. So, obviously, a hell of a night for the Lakers. And I feel bad for Cavs fans. I totally feel for them. It's a tough deal.
Well, they won the championship this time. And as a Cavs fan myself, you know, I still have that. And I choose not to get crazy and get mad at LeBron like I absolutely did myself back in 2010, the first time he had left. But, Jordan, I look at this from also the Lakers' perspective here, or what LeBron's legacy is when it comes to the Lakers now. I think that there's people who already obviously want to make the argument against LeBron, certainly when it comes to Michael. I think it reopens that door. And you're also playing for an organization where you're not the god like you were in Cleveland, where you have guys who have come before you that we only know them by one name because that's all you need to know them as. Does this reapply pressure on him to deliver a championship to an historically great franchise?
It does. I just don't think that pressure is there from the first year, especially if they don't get Kawhi Leonard. Just because they have young pieces there, obviously, with Ingram and Kuzma and Ball to an extent, but they don't – being in the West, especially with Houston and Golden State, that roster right now at least isn't a contending roster because they don't have enough around him. He does need more help. The pressure will be there, absolutely. But I always felt that Houston was really, you know, totally – like, I never really gave the Rockets a chance in this, because I thought that, for one, you know, going with two alpha males with James and Chris Paul would have been tough. And I also thought that the pressure to win from day one would have been enormous for him in Houston. Whereas with the Lakers, that pressure will be there. But he's also, you know, a keen basketball historian, as you well know. Guys like Kareem and Elgin Baylor and Kobe and Shaq and Jerry West, and what it's like to win as a Laker is different than anywhere else.
Jordan Schultz joining us on the hotline right now. So when do you think LeBron made that decision? When do you think it was kind of crystallized for him? Because we have callers saying that he played the Cavs, that this was in the works, and that he forced the trades for, you know, Jordan Clarkson and to free up some cap space for the Lakers.
That's interesting take. I can see how people would think that. I don't think he – to me, that's unlikely, just because he was trying to win a championship this year. When do I think he made the decision? I think the last few days it became really clear to him. I do believe that he took that meeting with Philadelphia because it was important to at least give them an opportunity to sell themselves. I think the last few days it became more clear, but as I reported yesterday, he had not made a decision until last night. he played the Cavs, I would say that's a considerable stretch, because last year his number one priority was winning a championship.
Jordan Schultz joining us on the show. For the Cavaliers, what's the next move here? Because immediately we turn our attention to Kevin Love and what to do with him, and I think that it is time for a liquidation and probably time to get better through losing. As much as I hate that personally, I have to do it. However, I think we need to be a little bit patient on this, because they did rush themselves into a Kyrie decision last year and ended up having disastrous results.
Yeah, absolutely. I had been told yesterday that they were not shopping Kevin Love, and I think that's obviously been reported at this point from other folks as well. I talked to Kobe Altman last night. I think Cleveland is in a position right now where obviously they're very disappointed, but I'm sure they have some kind of contingency plan. I don't know if they're going to end up trading Kevin Love. In fact, I don't think they will. Part of the reason is they obviously had the refit with Serena, and they want to sell tickets, but they also believe that they can build around, that Kevin Love can still help them win some games, that Colin Sexton, they're going to develop. And part of what Cleveland needs to do now, fellas, is that they need to get guys better. Like, if you look at what's happened in Boston, the second those guys get in that door, they're developing. Utah is another example of that. The Lakers are an example with Ingram and Kuzma. Cleveland needs its young players to develop. It's not just about the culture that obviously has to continue going upward, but they need guys like Colin Sexton to improve considerably, because obviously now it's going to be harder without LeBron to attract marquee free agents. I think it was already a difficult thing to do. So they certainly have their hands cut out, but I think there are plenty of people within that organization, as my man Dave McMiniman said last night, that want to get their teeth into it, and Kobe Altman obviously is the key.
Jordan Schultz joining us on the hotline. He's been kind of covering this throughout the process, breaking some news along the way. So one report is out there from The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, that it was about Saturday afternoon when LeBron James informed Dan Gilbert of his plans. Yet we didn't get any info from the Cavs until well after, a few hours, maybe 3 hours after his new decision, his third decision came out. What did you think of the reaction from Dan Gilbert, and how do you think that all went down, and how much do you think Dan Gilbert is to blame?
Well, Dan Gilbert's words last night were classy. They were absolutely classy. To say that, I think he said, he appreciates everything LeBron did in his organization, but they never had a great relationship. They didn't need to have the perfect relationship, but they needed to have one that was a working relationship. And I think that's the biggest thing it's probably the reason why, or at least a key reason why LeBron left, because he never felt that him and Dan Gilbert were even a workable relationship. It got to the point where it was pretty severed. It was never Kawhi and Spurs severed this time around, but I never felt that it was repaired from the first go around, from the first note from Dan Gilbert. So I put some blame on him. At the same time, he has been willing, perhaps more so than any other owner the past 3-4 years, to spend money, and I do put credence into that. But they never had a great relationship. And when you don't have a great relationship with the GM, it's one thing, but when you don't have a real one with the owner, that can be very difficult.
One more for you, Jordan. We know you're in a bit of a hurry. Does this change the conversation sometime in the next couple of weeks or in the next couple of years even, with Kyrie leaving and maybe the impetus for that, because maybe he knew something and we didn't really talk about it at that time?
That Kyrie knew that LeBron was going to bounce?
The reason why he was leaving and trying to force his way out of it last year.
That's a good one. I haven't thought about that. I'd say no, because even if that was the case, he knew that they had an opportunity to go back-to-back. And taking it a step further, as Cleveland fans well know, the Cavs didn't have to deal Kyrie. And so I would say no to that. That's not based on any intel. It's a gut for me. And, going back to Dan Gilbert, obviously, like you said, with LeBron, I, you know, if he had great relationships with these superstars, specifically Kyrie and LeBron, I'm not sure that we're in this position right now. But that would be the best way I can answer it.
Jordan, thank you very much for the time, friend. Again, we know you're busy. We do appreciate it, and all the best to you.
No problem. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear my phone text going through the last 15 minutes.
Oh, no, we're good.
Just start reading them.
Read the text.
Go ahead, read
them. What are they saying about the interview? Yeah. Do they hate it?
No, I appreciate you. If I can read them, I would, but a couple of these are I will not be able to.
Just read one of them. Just one. We're only asking for one.
Damn.
Hey, listen, I appreciate you guys.
It doesn't even have to be relevant. It could be from your grandmother. Anything.
Jordan, thank you, buddy.
Take care. I'm doing the sports reporters in a few minutes. That was one of them, actually. I could probably read that. It's just not interesting.
Well, all right. Well, the hell with you.
Depends.
Then,
Jordan. Is it Mike Lupica or Mitch Albom?
Mike is on this thread, yes.
You want to say something to him, Anthony?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Thanks,
Jordan, thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
All right. See you, fellas. Take care.
Bye. Jordan Schultz, Yahoo Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.